Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With Shane Swagger.
I'm going to get some shit for this. I think you're both right, and that'll probably be the last time this evening.
And Michael Fanaro.
He's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
Swags, you better bring us in or we're going to have a half hour of outtakes.
Well, cheese and rice, guys.
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
But the thing that I don't see out there is I don't see you having no fun. Have some fun, man.
Come.
Hey,
now we're awake. Now we roll.
It's like toddler rules. Just make them as you go. Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 136 here, as always, back-to-back with Dave, the Spaceman, right? Set it all messed up, as always, with the Feverish Fanaro. Get you that top 10, as promised. We're going to fly through this for you guys today. How the hell are you guys? How have you been?
Oh, pretty good. Can't complain, you know? Just feeling good this morning.
Another morning show.
I'm excited for episode 162.
Right around the corner, boys.
I know, dude. We'll get there. We'll get there.
All of a sudden, 161 is going to have meaning.
And 162.
People celebrate their 100th and their maybe even their 200th. Nope, 160.
Can't wait for that 161 and 162.
They're very exciting, those two episodes. Who knows what's in store?
So we gave you guys our top, our 20 through 11 on episode 161. And we're gonna fly through our top 10. So two quick episodes for you guys back to back. Number 10, DeAndre Swift, running back 21, 183 points, 102 carries, 467 yards, 7 touchdowns, 43 receptions, 54 targets, 341 yards, 2 touchdowns, an average of running back 20, maybe the first player that the average really matters about. I don't think RB20 is too bad for a rookie.
No, it's fantastic.
Because he missed some time, you know, and he's still my boy.
I think he did this whole average thing just so you could call him a top 20 because he's RB21 on the season. So you like went back and said, how can I make Swift sound even better? I'll do averages. Now he's RB20.
I did it because I was interested in seeing it. So I figured other people may be as well. And there's a couple different ways you can look at things, so wanted to have it in here a little bit for the show.
I love that average, dude. I love that average. I mean, we were just cracking double digits with the previous guys. Now we're like well in at 15.2.
Yep.
We're talking about average points per game, right?
That's correct.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. That's just actually, fantasy average. Yep.
We're talking points per game in season. That's actually a very sticky stat. So I didn't really address this in the first episode, but it's important. When you look at it, so we shouldn't poo-poo it. It's actually valuable information. So it's as far as stickiness going from year to year.
Yeah,
I like stickiness.
Oh, absolutely. So Swift, like, that's too early. It's too early. We'll move on. You guys, anybody that's heard Rookie Fever has heard a lot about DeAndre Swift. For me, if you guys have anything you want to add about Swift, I'm here for it. But I'm not gonna let it out today.
Well, just for me, the pure joy of 54 targets like that. We talked about this a little bit last episode, and I wanted to bring up we were trying to get through it, so I didn't bring up Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs was known in college as a pass catcher. They were totally reluctant to give him any, like, he just had almost no production in the air. They improved that this season, and can you imagine if they improved that with Swift next season? With him getting the lion's shares, I hate that I always say lion's shares with him being on the line, with the lion's shares of the opportunity
well,
there.
Well, that's like, missing oh my three God. Games,
could
too,
get 100, I know. Could he get 100 targets next season?
Oh, wow.
I don't think that's crazy.
4.5 targets per game, and he wasn't used very much at times early on in the season. That's not
no
out of the question at all. I think he is on pace to be an Alvin Kamara light type back. That's I think he that's what he is. That's the path
he's on. I love that. Love that. So, I was going to say something else about him. I forget what it was. But, yeah, he did miss three games, though.
Yeah, and didn't he get also, like, injured in one? I'm quite sure that
he had the concussion, but it came during a practice or something like that. Like, we really didn't know about it, remember?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, so that was the concussion part. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, for me, dude, there's I actually was going to throw out there Swift or Jonathan Taylor and just get you guys thinking about that.
Yep.
I'm a Swift.
Yeah, I feel like I am too, dude. And it's those catches. I mean, luckily with Jonathan Taylor, we will talk about him soon. But luckily with Jonathan Taylor, I was surprised on how much they did use him in the passing game, and he did well. But DeAndre Swift is a natural pass catcher. They knew that coming in. They were using him as a pass catcher more than a rusher.
Right away.
Yeah. So that's the reason I question the 100 targets, because they were using him in that way, you know, kind of fairly early. But I just feel like that's, you know, maybe 100's aggressive, but I would love to see 100 targets.
Yep.
And with Taylor, how much of that is Phillip Rivers and how much of that is just Taylor? Just the way that Phillip Rivers plays nowadays.
It's more Phillip Rivers for sure.
Number 9, Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver 30, 189.1 points, 6 carries, 77 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground, 60 receptions on 96 targets, 748 yards, 5 touchdowns, average of wide receiver 17 with 15.8 points a week. Brandon Ayuk.
Is anyone not excited about this guy?
I'm excited.
I'm looking up real quick, is why I'm a little slow here. I want to see, like, I know that he missed a fair share of games. I just wanted to be accurate about that. I think, just off the top of my head, I think he missed like 6 to 8 games. Does that sound about right?
He missed 3 games.
Three?
They had a lot of like COVID issues too. You might be remembering too, though, that like pushed back like games and bye weeks. So they had some COVID stuff. But I mean, one thing too is, I mean, the quarterback play. I think how many quarterbacks did he have this year? 3 with Mullins, yeah. Beathard, and Jimmy Garoppolo, and to what average wide receiver 17 his rookie season.
And that's being genuine, calling them all quarterbacks. So, or generous calling them all quarterbacks. So.
Very fair.
Yeah, Dave, you're right, man. It's just 3, and one of them was just week 1 where he wasn't on the field at all.
How about Matt Ryan to the Niners?
Sign me up, baby.
I like that. Oof. Dave, you're a big fan of these vets moving teams, right? Who are your 3? I hear you mention Stafford all the time. Is Ryan another guy?
Oh, yeah. I think those are the 2 premium quarterbacks that I see moving.
Stafford and Ryan reunion.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it feels that's a little too – it's almost like – and then Garoppolo going back to New England. Those are all like just
– too easy.
Too easy, but why wouldn't San Francisco try to – do they want to really rebuild with a quarterback with that defense? Do they want to waste it on a rookie quarterback for a couple of years? And these, I don't know. So why not just win now?
Brandon Ayuk or Debo?
Easy, Ayuk. Not even a question.
Yeah, I'm Ayuk. Well, it wasn't as easy for me, and it took the whole season for it to happen, but it's definitely Ayuk.
I'm with you, but I think you're going to see that question a lot. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm on the Ayuk side as well. But
I just have to give a little bit about Ayuk because he's turned into a – I was very low on him coming in. I just didn't know if he was – he had one bad year, one good year, and which one to believe, especially as a JUCO transfer. N'Keal Harry outplayed him in his first year, so it was tough to decide who he was as a prospect. But now that you've seen it, he's getting – he deserves to be in the CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, that
absolutely
tier. That's how good he played. And
absolutely.
I don't think people have put him there yet.
Totally agree.
It was Odell Beckham's rookie year, and then the Cardinals, Anquan Boldin, and then it's Justin Jefferson and Ayuk as far as greatest rookie years we're seeing. That's just how impressive he's been in the last 20 years. That's like he's better than Mike Evans' rookie year right now.
Yep. Hey, Finero, do you still have Ayuk behind Higgins there, like when we were on Dynasty Trades HQ? Shout out to Dynasty Trades HQ. Those guys were so nice, and I don't know how we did it, but they had us on 2 weeks in a row. A first-time event for Dynasty Trades HQ.
That was awesome. It was cool to have 2 back-to-back shows like that.
We must be cooler than we think.
Maybe that's it, you know? That could easily be it, dude. To answer your question, though, Ayuk was the biggest jumper on my rankings between weeks, say, 9 and when we jumped on the show. I think that was like 14, that like when we were on the show. And I love Higgins. I really do. And I liked Higgins a little bit more than Ayuk coming in. So some of that could be confirmation bias. And the other part of it could just be I was unwilling to move Ayuk up 4 spots. I moved him up 3 spots. A ton. But, you know, I think that's a fair argument we could have. As far as who excites me more, it might be IU. Just because I felt like I saw Higgins all year long, and I didn't see Ayuk really, really go nuts until this last half. And then again, we don't know how he is with Debo on the field all season. I think it's even better with Debo on the field all season. So I'm going to stick with Higgins. I'm going to stick with my rankings for now, but I wouldn't.
I'm going to tease it a little bit. So Dave wanted us to do some New Year's resolutions. It's so hard to fit them into these shows with all the, just trying to go through them quick to, these are kind of just easy shows, but, so we're going to do New Year's resolutions next week. And then we're also going to rank just like our top five rookies separately and then bring them to the show. So I'm kind of like, it was hard for me to not like ask about some more rankings things, but I kind of want to save it and tease it a little bit.
Sure.
But I do have Brandon Ayuk over Higgins, though. I'll say that because we already did say it on Dynasty Trades HQ. But I like Ayuk a lot.
They're very, very similar. I'm so sorry, dude. They're very, very similar throughout the season, too, as far as targets, receptions, yards, touchdowns. I mean, they're almost identical throughout. So you might be going to situation, or you might go with that weird thing that I mentioned where, you know, Higgins didn't miss any time. Ayuk missed a little. He seemed flashier. He just seemed to kind of just overshadow somebody I also love, which was Debo. And that's crazy for me. Like I really still love Debo. Any love I have for Ayuk is not any shade on Debo. I still really like him a lot. I think he's really physical, and I think those two complement each other really well. It'd be great to see them with a better quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
We have to remember too, George Kittle wasn't there for half the season.
Yeah. So great point.
Like, what does that do? I think it's appropriate to tap the brakes a little bit on Ayuk because I'm trying not to go crazy how much I like him.
No, that's a good point. We like almost had him as an afterthought when he maybe is one of the most important pieces to that entire puzzle.
He's a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
You know, we might have been overlooking him. The NFL didn't.
Yeah. Number 8, CEH, running back 18, 195.1 points, 181 carries, 803 yards, 4 touchdowns, 36 receptions, 54 targets, 297 yards, 1 touchdown, average of running back 22, just 2 spots behind Swift, nothing to even really bat an eye at, 15 points a week. And I didn't mean like that in a throwing shade way, I meant it in a, they were closer than I thought they were going to be way.
I thought, and I know everyone on this show, I believe, David, sorry if I'm including you now, like, correct me, but thought where he was valued coming in was just, you know, outrageous. It was just too high, you know, top 5, 6, 7, you know, startup pick.
Startup,
before,
yeah.
Before he even hit the field. I had him in my mind, which I still think, this is a great season, by the way. I'm not poo-poo. I think that's a fantastic season. I really do. I think the reason people are a little down, maybe more than a little down on CEH, is because of the expectation. But that's a fantastic season. I thought a realistic outcome for CEH, especially with how he catches the ball, was Miles Sanders' rookie season. And he didn't actually get there. He's almost 200 yards short of that in the receiving game. So I think that's where CEH can really find value going into 2021, is for him to be incorporated there. But to Swag's point, all season long, is that a role that Kansas City is going to give any running back? You know, I just don't know if that's true. I think they pass the ball so well and so effectively and have so many options in the air. I don't think a dump off pass is really in Mahomes' interest.
Well, and even what you alluded to at the beginning of what you're saying there was that startup value that was given to Clyde Edwards-Helaire that really kind of, in a way, is what made him a bust and what made him so disappointing. Yeah. By all means, like the rookie value, if you got him in your rookie drafts, even if you thought he was a 101, that bust isn't the same. You didn't lose as much because you didn't take him over, you know what I mean, somebody else. Like, I mean, even in Superflex startup drafts, nobody was going in the first round except for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, not Joe Burrow, not Justin Herbert, not Jonathan Taylor, like none of those guys. Yep. But he was sneaking in between like 101 and 106, and that's by all means what makes him a bust. Had we like tempered expectations, which we were really trying to get you to do here, he like Fenero said, he had a really decent season. Honestly, it's nothing to poo-poo about. But because of how it got really bad, by all means, like, to me, he's kind of one of the bigger busts of the year. And that's not me even trying to dig and find it. But that's more referring to that startup value when right. I say that than the rookie yep. value. Because, I mean, it's crazy, too. Like, even between, like, 101 and 102, like, when you start to look at that ADP for your rookie drafts, like, once you get to, like, 105 and 106, it starts to be, like, the difference of 10 to 20 picks in a startup. And so it's significant in your startup draft when you move them up that far, but in your rookie drafts, it's not the same kind of like hit and miss. But I apologize, Dave. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I agree with everything you guys are saying. This is a really great thing, and I think this is a touchdown thing. He didn't have as many touchdowns as that you would think. He had 200 rush yards per rushing touchdown, which is he was expected to have more touchdowns with his volume. If he had just a normal amount of touchdowns, I think people are a lot happier. And just how that Kansas City offense worked out, he got stuffed early on, and that put a bad taste. Like the first game, didn't he get like stuffed four times in the goal line?
Yeah.
I think that put a bad taste in people's mouth. And this is just, I don't want to parrot what you guys were said, but that's the only thing I want to add is this is a touchdown thing.
Yeah.
So is it a touchdown fluky thing, or is it more like what Swags has been saying all season? Is this really not that interesting of a running back landing spot as perceived? Like, because, like, honestly, like, they used Travis Kelce on that little cross, like, on the goal line, you know. I mean, I don't know how people fall for it still. Like, you know, Travis Kelce has scored more. They're short. It's basically a dump-off pass, which is a rush. They just have all these opportunities in the red zone that I don't know if there's enough for him to really double that, even, you know, and there should be. I mean, 4 touchdowns to 8 is not stupid. 5 touchdowns to 10 is not crazy. I guess my question is, like, is it fluky? Is it just a rookie being a rookie and having to, like, figure out, you know, the position and maturing next season? Or is it legitimately that Kansas City doesn't provide enough of those opportunities?
For me personally, this is a classic. People are way too focused on Andy Reid and what he does for his running backs, because people need to realize Andy Reid's never had a Patrick Mahomes. This isn't Alex Smith we're talking about, who's dumping off to running backs. This isn't a Donovan McNabb or other players. This is Patrick Mahomes. He's pushing the ball downfield. Yeah, he will. Like, yeah, he got 3.9 targets per game, but it's not like Patrick Mahomes is going to sit there and make Clyde Edwards-Helaire the number one option. That's just not how it's going to work.
Yep.
Yeah, and honestly, dude, like the only knock, if there ever was one, with Tyreek Hill was his, like, kind of boom bust stability, right? He was one of the most stable wide receivers throughout this season. I mean, you want to talk about, like, a guy that you thought couldn't take his game up. Tyreek Hill was a touchdown machine, and I don't see any reason that changes. I don't see any reason that Travis Kelce's role changes. Like, for me, like, I just don't know if there's enough to go around for a running back to do a ton better than this. Can he have 1,200, 1,300 all-purpose yards and be very good in that role? Sure. I don't think there's any reason he can't be that. But if you draft the CEH at the 101 and you're now looking over your shoulder at Jonathan Taylor, at Swift, or even J.K. Dobbins, I think you're kind of like, oh, that's a shame. I kind of rather have those guys.
Yeah. Yep. Number 7, T. Higgins, wide receiver 28, 195.1 points. 5 carries, 28 yards, 67 receptions, 107 targets, 908 yards, 6 touchdowns, average wide receiver 33, 13.9 points. We've mentioned T. Higgins a little bit. I think we all like him. Mm-hmm. I do want to ask Dave. I was trying to not ask this question throughout the entire show, but T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk?
This is tough for me. This is actually a thing that I've been thinking a lot about on is – these rookies are so good. I care more about where they are in response to other wide receivers outside of this rookie class, like T. Higgins or Allen Robinson or those kind of questions.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
because it's almost a disservice. I think I mentioned this on Twitter. It's a disservice to put, you know, a Chase Claypool as my 207 if I was to redraft things. Like, that's, like, feels like I'm a hater. I respect what he's done. It's just that this class is so good. So, right. But I will say, if I had to say, I'm going to lean Ayuk just because I have more faith in the San Francisco organization and what that does compared to Cincinnati.
Yeah. And Fenero, you're starting to lean that way a little bit?
Like I said, I think it's splitting hairs between the two. Yeah. But I'm still going to stick with the I put T. Higgins above Ayuk for a reason, and I think that reason is honestly, you know, they're very similar as we talked about earlier, so I won't go through that again as far as like statistically. But I do like what you said, Dave, as far as comparing them to players that we know and love that have been playing in this league for 5, 6, 7 years. The fact that you can do that is just talking to how deep this class was, how good this class was. And we got a lot of wide receivers coming out next season too. So it's a fun NFL to be able to rely. And I know, Swags, I know you relied on rookie wide receivers in your Scott Fishbowl run, which, by the way, I believe you finished 5 overall. Is that correct?
I think I ended up 7th.
All right, so 7th overall. I have to look. I think I'm 7th. I know you're not going to say it, so I'll say it. 7th over out of 1,400 people. It's freaking incredible. And I know for a fact Justin Jefferson was one of those key targets.
Oh, yeah, he was on my team. I had James Robinson. I had Jonathan Taylor.
Rookie.
I had Swift. Rookie. I drafted rookie. Swift earlier than anybody in the Scott Fishbowl. Wasn't there for me really
youngest,
in the end.
Did you have the youngest team by any chance? Do you know?
I don't know for sure. I don't think I did this year, but I did last year. And but this year, no, I had some vets too. Because I had like Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson on my team, which brings the average up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And just got lucky, man, and kind of kept pushing on. And then one of my lowest points weeks in a while ended up being this week, actually. So
yeah,
it happens, man. It was super fun. I wish I could remember the guy's name who won it, and that is so my bad. But
was it Jamie Sternia or something like that?
Yeah, you got it.
It was a fan, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So huge shout out to him, man. And I'll tell you what, dude. Like, I was in the Lego division, and so is Scott Fish. And I kind of mentioned a couple things in there, just kind of like, oh my gosh, like, and this is true. Like, I have just set my lineup and walked away and talked to you guys every week. This week, there was no good choice. Everything was so hard. And this was actually last week, but it was just a complete, like, pardon my French, it was a mind fuck every freaking day of the week, like, trying to figure out how to set my lineup. And I kind of like, expressed that within that chat, and Scott kind of said, he goes, man, every year, he goes, I have people mentioned like how stressed out they actually get. Like, shout out to everybody that made it that far. I feel the stress that you felt all week. Like, it's so weird, but it's such like, I don't know, like, there's so much luck involved, but once you get that far, it feels really freaking cool. And you have no idea, like, the how it kind of weighs in a negative way on your week. It was so weird, and I'm glad that, like, I'm not just some crazy stressed out person, and that he kind of conveyed that, yes, this is part of it. Like, but man, the stress that it kind of went in. But I did want to shout out Michael J. Gavin. He's the winner of our Rookie Fever best ball draft we did this year, and that was 100% charity league. He won a Cam Akers helmet. Super fun league. We're going to do some more like that this year, but it was a best ball. We could only draft rookies. We had 7 rounds of rookies. Best ball with 4 that could hit your lineup. We didn't have a quarterback spot, but we had a super flex spot so that, like, quarterbacks could hit into there. And he ended up taking it in the end, man. So, and that was a super fun league. It just really, that was a lot of luck too, but super fun to do a best ball league where you're only playing with rookies. So
here's his roster. I think you guys will figure out why he won. So at the 103, he picked Jonathan Taylor. At 210, Van Jefferson. What a letdown Van Jefferson was this season. I thought he would get a couple more opportunities. Quintez Cephas at the 303. That probably helped him a little bit.
Week you mind, one.
This is a rookie only draft. So even Quintez Cephas helped him. KJ Hill, not so much. But then at the 503, where do you think he went?
James Robinson.
That pretty much did it for him. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Jake Fromm or Freddie Swain. So the combination of Jonathan Taylor and James Robinson got him the ship for sure. That was so much fun, Swags. I want to do it next year. I want to do more of them. I want to have more than one league. I would love to see it mature even further. I know you and I have played with some ideas, so I would love to take it to the next level, maybe in year 3 or 4 after we do a couple more of these. But it was for charity. I've spoken to him. He's one of my close friends from college.
Awesome.
He was very excited about it. Actually, he said out of all the leagues, he's a high stakes player, right? So this was not this was not something that would financially make him feel good.
Right.
He said every week he checked that out, and he was excited to look at it every week. Right, dude.
Quite interesting and how it works out like that.
It's crazy, right? Like, he's motivated by money. This is a guy that loves to play fantasy football for coin, and this had nothing to do with that. This was charity. This was something that he was unique, that he hasn't done ever. And I think it made everybody who was in the league just fun to be in it, because it was unlike anything crew they've too. Ever done.
Like the whole league, like just a good crew.
Yeah, I know that you and I think finished like third or fourth in that league, and I know that I was at the number Herbert one position a couple me. Weeks. Yep, you were in the number one position C for a couple weeks. It was just a lot of fun to see that like change over, you know, like when the quarterbacks started coming into the league and you had them.
That's a super fun league. You're going to have to get in one of those with us next year, at least for sure.
I enjoyed listening to it. Like, I remember you guys talking about it. I thought it was great content. I'd love to get into one of those things. It sounds like a great time.
Yeah. We didn't talk about it enough. So I'm glad you brought it up, Swag.
Michael, you will have that. We'll get that Cam Akers helmet in the mail like pretty quick here, dude. And hopefully we can get a picture or something.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'll make sure he does that.
Number six, Chase Claypool, wide receiver 26, 196.8 points, 10 carries, 16 yards, 2 touchdowns, 57 receptions, 98 yards, 772. Why do I do that? 98 receptions, 772 yards, 8 touchdowns, average of wide receiver 35, 13.1 points. Chase Claypool, somebody's got to go, right? That's what we all say. That's the popular opinion. Is Juju on his way out?
I think it's going to be Juju. It feels to me like it's going to be Juju. I know that's the easy thing to say, but I regardless of what happens there, I think Chase Claypool is 100% legit. Like, I don't think I don't see any flaws in his game. I really don't. I think, you know, he's on this elite list of what was it, 5 players with double digit touchdowns. And he's doing that. I mean, granted, it's high pass volume in Pittsburgh, but still, like, he's doing that.
But he had like 4 in 1 week.
Yeah, this is true. That was a crazy week. Was that the biggest rookie week, or did Jefferson have it? I think it was Claypool. It was either Claypool or Jefferson that had the highest rookie fantasy point week all season. It was either Claypool or Jefferson.
Yeah, I mean. Of this group, you know, that's up here in the close to like 200 points on the season, he's the only one that's like the wide receiver 35. Next, we've got like a running back 10. Oh, I guess like CeeDee Lamb's a wide receiver 30. I'm just kind of looking at the average weeks, and I like Claypool a lot. I wonder if we got a little bit too excited with the Mapletron and all of that,
maybe.
Though.
Maybe. But this is his rookie season. You know, I mean, this is like almost 800 yards. Receiving, just I'm just really impressed. I missed on this guy. I thought coming out that he was more of a tight end body type, that I didn't have this in his range of possibilities. I'll admit that at all. I had questions where people were asking me about Claypool, and I was there's any number of wide receivers I was asking them to draft in front of Claypool. I was not on that train. So, you know, this would be a player I would tend to not like. This would be a player I would love to try to find an example and make you not like him too, right? Get on my camp. Gotcha. This is one kind of like your Joshua Kelly, man. I was just dead wrong. I'm sorry. Like, I messed up on this guy.
Dave, where are you here? Are you stopping this train or are you all about it, all aboard?
He can't stop my train.
I'm stopping the train for me. I'm getting off. I'm selling. I'm happy to trade and that value where you got him. I'd happily recoup that where he's going. And the thing about that is too is, sorry, my wife just walked to the room. So wide receiver 33, wide receiver 71, wide receiver 70, wide receiver 56, wide receiver 40 to close out the year. Do you know why he was those ranks? Because he didn't score a touchdown. I'm afraid he's a touchdown dependent wide receiver. Why is he an athletic Kelvin Benjamin? I don't know. I am just worried how much TDs were a part of his production. That's all. Because and Big Ben, they're throwing the ball a ton now. So I think that's artificially popped up of how much volume he's getting in Pittsburgh. Yes, will it help when Juju leaves? I think so. And is he a rookie and will he get better? Yeah, he will. but I don't think he is not in the class of Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins for me. And I agree with that. And I think people want to put him there.
Yeah, or really close in like the higher range of that next tier. I think they want him up a little bit too much for me. I kind of agree with you. I think that he'd be a fun player to try to shop and see what you could get.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit on HQ, Swags, is if the perceived value out there is this at its absolute highest and you still owning this player don't feel the same way, that's a trade out then.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds like Dave it does sound like Dave's like, okay, this is, if it's not this player's ceiling, I have enough concerns about this player to say that this is more or less what he is and I see some anomalies here I don't like. So because it's so damn high, I'm just going to go ahead and get out. Maybe the same way kind of you feel about the next guy on the list, Swags, Antonio Gibson, maybe even similar to that guy.
Yeah, running back 13, 208 points, 151 carries, 720 yards, 11 touchdowns, 35 receptions, 43 targets, 241 yards, average of running back 10, 16 points a week.
So I made a correlation, Dave, that you might have been like, where is he pulling that out of his ass from? But, you know, there's a lot of touchdowns here. It's not the same situation. It's not even the same position. But do you have, like, similar concerns about Antonio Gibson and his TD volume?
100%. I think we talked about this on Rookie Fever, my last appearance. I think we talked about how much of a cupcake schedule he had and how many touchdowns he scored. I think he scored four or five touchdowns against a dream. It was a David Montgomery scenario. He just had a cake schedule and he capitalized on it. Now, is it to take away from how he's getting a decent amount of targets per game, even though J.D. McKissick's there? Is he starting to take over the backfield? No, that's not to take away from Antonio Gibson at all, but people need to realize how finicky touchdowns are. And I can't stress enough, I care more about opportunity, I care more about yardage than I care about actual touchdowns, because they are just not stable year to year.
Yeah, he had a 3-touchdown game in week 12 against the very poorest Cowboys. So
that's a
big part of it. He had another 2-touchdown game against the Lions, and we know how they are against the run as well. But, you know, I agree with you. And I'm glad you said it, Dave. Like, you can't really take that away from a guy capitalizing on bad defenses either.
No problem.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, we have to look at and again, it's coming off the Claypool discussion. You know, is the value so high and the concerns enough for you to say, well, let me cash out now?
Yeah,
I know Swags will.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I know Swags has.
Yeah, definitely. I'm all about like moving on. I mean, first of all, I did good with Gibson. Like, I bought one share at one point, and then I used a share. Like, I traded Antonio Gibson and Todd Gurley for Justin Jefferson at another point. And that's how I used my Antonio Gibson share. And then I somehow, like, ended up with him back and then traded him and added on top of Gibson to get James Robinson. So, I don't know. I feel like the best thing Antonio Gibson can do for you is get different players for your team. But that's just me.
I don't want to take away from our next episode, but I got criticized on my other podcast, Tale Two Rivals, for saying that I would have Cam Akers over Gibson.
I'm with you.
Oh, I'm 100% with you.
Yep.
So, but and it's not to hate on Gibson. I like Gibson. It's just that what you could get, just people need to realize, I don't want to, it's just how touchdowns work. And now, could Gibson get way more opportunities next year because he's shown something? Yes, he certainly could. But he's a good player. His ROI was phenomenal. I mean, you could get him at the beginning of the third round, end of the second round in rookie drafts for Superflex. That's phenomenal. So we love the value James Robinson got us. Let's not hate on Antonio Gibson because
absolutely
of touchdown.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah. And it was a heck of a value, and I'm not going to take away from it, but it wasn't quite as good, because I mean, in some cases James Robinson was a free agent acquisition, you know, and you added him to your team for some like waiver money, and but I hear you, dude. It's still a heck of a value for what he did for everybody's teams this year, especially when you get into that startup value that I brought up earlier. Like, definitely, like, hell of a value in your startups. Number four, CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 21, 212 points, 9 carries, 79 yards, 1 touchdown, 69 receptions on 104 targets, 892 yards, 5 touchdowns, average of wide receiver 30, 14.1 points a week. CeeDee Lamb. Fenero, where you at with Lamb?
Yeah, I was going to say, is anybody surprised by the over 100 targets? I had that. I think I had him pegged for that, and I feel like a lot of people were down on CeeDee Lamb this year because, well, he couldn't, you know, enough people said he was going to go over Gallup. I was not one of those people. I was one of those people that was closer to believing that the Dallas had the chance to have 3 1,000-yard wide receivers. Now, that got erased as soon as we had quarterback problems with Dak, but I don't think any of this really surprises me, and I don't think any of this really surprised anyone. As far as where CeeDee Lamb is, for me, Swags and I were on HQ. I finally moved him down to my 2 slot. He was my number 1 slot through the first 10 weeks of the season. I couldn't stop Justin Jefferson anymore. What Justin Jefferson did this season, we'll talk about it later, is just you know, it hasn't happened since 2016 with Michael Thomas. So CeeDee Lamb is still my wide receiver number 2. He's the wide receiver number 2 in this ranking for the season. So again, I don't think there's any surprises here at all. I don't think there's anything that kind of like makes me feel any differently than about the player than I felt originally coming in. Yeah. I'm anxious and hopeful that Dak comes back to Dallas, and I want to see CeeDee Lamb take it even to the next level.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've talked about this before. Like, sometimes when you get into these top guys, like, you've talked about them so much, and
yeah,
everybody kind of knows who they are, that it's almost not as exciting to talk about. So they almost don't get talked about enough on Rookie Fever, just because we deal with some of those other guys in a different way. But yeah, CeeDee Lamb is definitely, I mean, he's my wide receiver too. I'm with you on, I have Justin Jefferson above him. Dave?
Yeah, I agree with you. Said my only question on CeeDee Lamb was, would he was very physical again in the, I think it was the Big 10 or the Big 12 conference,
mm-hmm,
at Oklahoma, right? Or so like that, the way he played in college, I was curious if that physicality would carry over to the NFL, because he isn't as big of a frame as you would suspect, but man, what he has done, he's answered all the questions. He was my wide receiver 1 heading into it. He's now my wide receiver 2, but I cannot break the tie. This is another thing. It's like, I don't know what CeeDee Lamb's true ceiling is, what he could do with Dak, but Justin Jefferson had Kirk Cousins. Like, that, yeah, what he did with Kirk Cousins was phenomenal. I don't want to hate on either one of these guys. They are both amazing. They are a cornerstone of any dynasty team moving forward.
Yeah,
they are leading a class, an all-time great class. They are the top.
Yep.
The cream of the crop.
Yep.
Dave, Dave, do you know how many wide receivers in a rookie class finish at least a wide receiver 2?
This year or in general?
In general.
Usually,
this is like CeeDee Lamb didn't do it, right? He's wide receiver 30, so he's outside of that.
I think
he's wide receiver 21 with, but
is
his
he?
Weekly, okay, so, average is wide receiver 30.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So he did it. He met the threshold, and Jefferson met the threshold. So we got 2 guys this year. And I'm just curious, like, if you know approximately how rare that is.
I think it's about 1 per year. That's how it works. Like, that's the,
yeah,
average.
Yeah. That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. So 97.39% of the time, these rookies will not finish in the top 24. So that's less than 3%.
So maybe week 17, you see Higgins or Claypool move up a little bit. You never know.
That would be phenomenal.
Maybe you get 3 in there this year.
That would be really cool. Yeah. We can see that.
Yeah. Number 3, Jonathan Taylor, running back 8, 237.6 points, 202 carries, 916 yards, 9 touchdowns, 35 receptions, 37 targets, 298 yards, 1 touchdown, average of running back 14 with 17 points a week. Jonathan Taylor.
Let's rewind to week 8. He's a bust, right? Everyone in,
yeah,
is mainly redrafters, but I mean, there was a little tough time there in the middle for Jonathan Taylor, and anybody who listened to Rookie Fever, we weren't worried 1 minute.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, if people got like that, like, you're just kind of ignorant.
I was on a podcast. It was a stream where we did a rookie redraft, I think halfway through the season, and I still this was peak Jonathan Taylor hate time. And I picked him at 101 still, and this was before I had moved Swift ahead of him. But I got I was not a very popular person for that. And I feel vindicated, because what we saw with Jonathan Taylor was you could see flashes. And you saw once things fell into play. And the biggest thing that I love, and I know Pitt hasn't been as good of a run defense since Bush went down to injury, but I loved seeing him come to play week 16 against Pittsburgh, because he had a very nice first couple weeks of the fantasy playoff schedule. But then to see him do it against Pittsburgh as well, it wasn't just that offensive line take advantage of poor defenses. Taylor was making he was making plays against quality competition.
Yeah,
he RB7 overall. So that's not bad for a rookie.
And I mean, he was week one, he was running back 18. Week two, he was running back 13. Week three, running back 23. Week four, running back 34. Week five, running back 20. Week six, running back 29. Then he had the bye week. Week seven, came out of it running back 43. Week eight, like Fenero said, and that's when all the hate happened. And that's just so silly, guys. Like, we have to do better. Then week nine, running back 28. Week 10, 39. The hate is here, full effect. You're done with him. Week 11, he puts his middle finger up at you, running back 11. Week 12, he's out. You still don't believe in him. Week 13, running back 5. Week 14, running back 2. That's actually all I've got. But, I mean, it was all year he was pretty good. He had that, like, soft spot, which, man, any rookie, any player, I don't know. It's weird how we pick who to give the longer leashes to, but Jonathan Taylor, you weren't kind to, like, midway through the season.
Which is crazy, because he should have been one of the players with the longest leash.
Right.
Like, Jonathan Taylor, like, I remember he's got to be the 101, right? Yep. Like, I would say, like, it was him and CEH, like, balancing out all the people that were all over CEH. Taylor was still considered 101, and he was picked 101 in plenty of rookie drafts I was in.
Yeah.
Why did he not have a longer leash? That's just odd to me.
Right.
That's why I keep like kind of brushing off that it wasn't dynasty owners and was more like redraft kind of being sour on him.
I think it was a little bit of everybody. Yeah.
Did either of you take advantage of that then? Did either of you get a Jonathan Taylor during that 6 or 7 week lull?
I don't think I did.
Yeah. I wasn't able to do it. And I feel like that's kind of the proof in the pudding.
The thing was, I think that we at Rookie Fever, I'm generously calling myself we at this point. I think we did a really good job saying, hey, you guys, you need to hold the line with Jonathan Taylor. And I think that's the thing to move forward to next year. This is a top class. And if you look at the trend, it takes a while for these rookies to get involved. But when we were, week 11, week 12, week 13, it was amazing to see the point totals. Like, guys were getting touchdowns and 50 yards and weren't cracking the top 12 rookies.
Right.
It just, people need to realize that it's a whole season. We remember the first part of the season more than anything, because that's when the most teams are active and blah, blah, blah. But it's a complete season. And man, did Jonathan Taylor pay off.
Yep.
Yeah. Anytime anyone's ever talked about this show and what Rookie Fever does that no one else does, and it's just putting each and every one of these rookies underneath a microscope, a lot of even dynasty players don't have the time. They just don't have the time to look at rookies only. They just look at the bottom line and move on and put a different player in that spot. And they wait for them to pop off, maybe even a week or two before they bring them back into their lineups. They just don't look at them the way we do. And if you look at them close enough, like, you certainly don't overreact to lulls. You certainly consider snap shares and targets and all the wonderful numbers Dave brings to this show. You look at all of that very, very carefully. None of this really comes to a huge surprise. You become a more patient person, too. I'm not very patient.
Right.
As part of the show, you become much more patient than you do in your regular life.
No, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. It kind of teaches you to watch things a little differently. Mm-hmm. So, number two, Justin Jefferson, wide receiver 8, 262 points, 1 carry for 2 yards, 79 receptions, 113 targets, 1,267 yards, 7 touchdowns. As Dave mentioned, we slowly don't watch what these players are doing anymore. Like, this is one player I'm going to be watching what he adds to this total in week 17. Fenero, I want to throw it at you. You mentioned, like, which is a fun stat. I'm glad you're bringing this to the show. You mentioned with CeeDee Lamb, we got into that conversation, like, how many rookie wide receivers make it as a wide receiver 2 in fantasy their rookie year. How many are a wide receiver 1 their rookie year?
Yeah, the last time it's happened was in 2016. He was wide receiver 7, and it was Michael Thomas. The highest one in 2017 was Juju. He was wide receiver 22. Calvin Ridley did it in 2018 at wide receiver 22. Last year, A.J. Brown finished as wide receiver 16 after missing 3 games, which is why everyone was all over his, John. But, you know, you're also looking at McLaurin was a big guy last year, wide receiver 29. Players just don't do what Justin Jefferson did this season. They just don't. Michael Thomas is the closest comparison, and we're talking about five seasons ago. You know, even Tyreek Hill, wide receiver 24, his rookie season. So, I mean, this is why he's my wide receiver 1. This is why I had to get off of, you know, Tate Lock with CeeDee Lamb. Justin Jefferson is somebody who's very, very special.
Yeah. Dave?
So I was on a show last night where I just talked about how we look at these in-season numbers. And for wide receivers, the first thing I care about is target share. 30% is the only person to do that was Devontae Adams this year. But usually that's like a Nuck Hopkins. That's those type of players. But as a rookie, to come in with another top target in Adam Thielen and to command a 25% target share on a run first team that has Dalvin Cook, that features Dalvin Cook, to get 11 red zone targets with Adam Thielen, who's a red zone machine.
Yeah.
What Justin Jefferson has done blows me away. I didn't think he had this upside. There was people like Zach Reed from Dynasty Dummies, J Mike from the Open Bar, he has his own show too on the network. They said how good he was, and I just thought he was more of a slot guy, and he proved they were right about how high his ability is. And it's special. I could keep going, but what to hit that 25% threshold as a rookie is intoxicating. It really is.
Yeah. Good to see. Justin Jefferson. I like Justin
Jefferson. It's hard to move on from him, like, on any show, honestly. Like, I mean, I wish I had more. I really do. I
have quite a bit, dude. Like,
yeah, I know. And Justin Jefferson,
like, he was one player that.
You made moves to get him,
too. I mean, because we brought him up with, like, Laviska Shenault a lot. Like, he was, like, the guy. I mean, I said it on this show like many times, like he's going to be the rookie, like the redraft wide receiver 1. And
yeah,
he was.
Yep.
But I mean, he over exceeded my expectations, like for those conversations. You know what I mean? Like, and at that point, I think I would have still had like CeeDee Lamb and Judy and some of that lock and not quite had him at wide receiver 1 in Dynasty, but he was my redraft like wide receiver rookie, like number 1. So, yeah, I have a lot of Justin Jefferson in a lot of leagues just because of that, you know. So, and that it paid off.
I remember when Michael Thomas had his when he was drafted by the Saints, and people were saying, "Oh, Colston, he's going to come in and be Colston." I'm like, "Oh, stop! You know, he's not going to come in and be Colston." Justin Jefferson was like, "Oh, he's going to come in and absorb all those dig target shares." I'm like, "Stop! Just because you absorb target shares doesn't make you Stephon Diggs." And I feel like that's something I need to stop being so turned off by other people's an easy analysis and then going the other way to just look deeper. I feel like sometimes like I get angry at people who make those easy comparisons.
Yeah.
And then I take them on almost as my own, and that's just what? Like, I'm mad at them for doing it because it's easy analysis. So they're obviously not doing thorough analysis, but then somehow I assimilate that into my hatred for a player, or not my hatred, but my being down maybe less than. I have to change my opinion from yours because I don't like yours. That's just messed up.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting how it all happens. Like, I mean, we talk about herd mentality sometimes, and like, we want to say it like it's a negative thing, but it's actually just a natural thing that we do. It's part of like our ingrained like humanity that, like, we want a certain amount of acceptance. It's a real natural thing. So
right.
I don't think it's like anything you want to be too hard on yourself for, because there is like chemicals that help you with that mentality. Like, it's a interesting thing. I want to try to dive into a little bit more throughout the off season.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is I do want to recognize it and learn from it, you know, to become better at this. Like, I feel like
a good starting point is kind of like you mentioned, like you look for those, like, okay, like everybody has said Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Right.
You know, so let me look at this situation more and see why everybody likes it. And then start to kind of, you know what I mean, a little bit? And then just like, huh, sure. Like, I don't know if that helped me, you know? Like, what made me want to like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is because all of you started to. But everything else I look at, I'm just kind of not really agreeing with it. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. So.
And can I just, to piggyback on that, if what you're seeing now is, and when you see that dramatic, it's when you see a dramatic shift in opinion, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not the number one back or the number two back.
Right.
And I have to say, why is there a dramatic shift? Why is there a huge value spike?
Huge.
You go in and you assess what is actually causing that. And if you can pinpoint of like, oh, this is a good thing. Like, for example, Justin Jefferson, why is everyone crazy about Justin Jefferson? Oh, because he's got 25% target share, because he's one of the best rookie seasons in the last 20 years. He could have the all-time rookie receiving yard record if he has a good week 17. Just all these reasons why we're shifting on Justin Jefferson, but why were we shifting on Clyde Edwards-Helaire from 5 to 1 to 5
right,
to 2?
Right.
And that's how to do it. And then also, too, I think I want to give Swags and Finero, too, a couple in here. One of the things that I've taken away from the most on Rookie Fever, value is an abstract thing. Value is kind of a fake thing. ADP value, it's not real. It's not like – so when Swags traded, Swift straight up for CEH, that perceived value, that's a figment. It's like a – it's not real. What's real is the talent, their opportunity – how their fantasy points and stuff like that. So
yeah,
that's something I've personally taken to understand is that all these value shifts in season, it's not, you can take advantage of it as a fantasy player, but it's not real. It's waning.
Absolutely. You can find different ways to manipulate the market than just making sure that like every bit of value is on your side. Like there are, I mean, Wall Street does it all the time. Like Wall Street understands your herd mentality and the trends that it may set into value. And they understand like how to shift stocks around. People that are good at playing the stock market understand herd mentality and how to manipulate it to work in their favor without always making it seem like they win that stock exchange in that daily moment. And we can learn how to do that too.
Look at Vegas. Vegas is like, they're perfect at that too. Like
exactly what they do. Yep.
Yep. Number one, James Robinson, running back 4, 240 carries, 1,070 yards on the ground, 49 receptions on 60 targets, 344 yards through the air with another 3 touchdowns, averaging running back 6 with 19.5 points a week, 6th in all-purpose yards, missed last week, as we know, 1,414 yards. If he had 3 more yards, he'd be ahead of Travis Kelce. If he had 37 more yards, he'd be ahead of your boyfriend this week. And I like him too. That is no shade. My guy, Stefon Diggs. That's like, he would have got that, I assume, if he played week 16, and we'd be saying, and he's 4th in all purpose yards. It's a mute point. He's had an amazing season. James Robinson.
How is he RB4 after not playing last week? That's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Yep. RB4 on the season.
Game and he maintains RB4?
Yep.
Yeah.
And RB6 in points per game. And that what you see a lot of these times, like Jonathan Taylor, I don't think he was a top 12 back in points per game, but he was an RB7 overall because he was staying healthy. Oh, actually, he just played majority of the season.
Yeah.
James Robinson missed a game, and he's 6th in points per game and 4th in PPR overall rank.
Yep.
We've witnessed one of probably the greatest UDFA season of all time.
Yeah, you will not be snubbed here, James Robinson.
What a red carpet Swags just rolled out for him there in that intro.
Yeah, I hear you. There's anybody that was on top of James Robinson from day one, it was Swags. I know you don't like me blabbering about you on a show. This is like my third or fourth time between our last two shows. But, you know, I remember specifically you asking me, did I bid on James Robinson and Scott Fish? And I said, no. So why would I do that? I have Divine Azigbo.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's part of what took me there. I threw every bit I had on him, pretty much. I mean, at that moment, like, and I remember people, it was like $58 or $68. And I remember people just being like, wow, why would you do that?
Yeah,
I'm just like, well, because I want to win. And this is how you do it. Like, you get them when they come. You don't wait for something to maybe happen.
Damn, how many life lessons have we dished out this episode? Jeez.
A lot.
so much for a quick show. We just had jam packed it with valuable info. I loved it. Way to close it out.
Holy cow! Right?
Yeah, ooh, that is the way to do it.
You guys are amazing. I'm going to hand it to them again to have them do their Twitter handles and stuff. I'm just not always a good talker. But, man, follow these guys. I tell you, if they tweet, you want to know about it. You want to hear what they're saying. Me, I'm meh. I have good and bad days. It depends on my mood. But I'm SwagZilla0G. I always have the best of intentions. This is at Rookie Fever. And we want to make you better at setting those lineups and better at your patience. And that's all. That's what we're doing. And then after that, I just want to have fun. And these guys are fun.
Yeah, man. Speaking of fun, I'm going to be doing that top 10 podcast sound bites coming out.
Yes.
Later next week.
Love it. Can't wait.
Rookie Fever is going to probably not be included in that because I might be a little biased. But Swags, as our listeners know, is on a few other podcast, so he might make it into at least the nomination phase.
I arrogantly put myself in there.
Well, I think you belong in there. So anybody who has is hearing this now. I almost
felt bad though, Finero. Like, sorry to interrupt you, but I almost felt bad. I was like, ooh, I want to nominate this one of me, but it was it was just the one that came to mind the quickest for me. And
it's a good one. But it's a good one. A little on the long side, but I'm going to abridge it to get it into consideration.
Put me on the high speed, like chipmunk voice. Get it all in there.
But I'll tweet that out. I'll probably tweet that out at both at Aardvark TV, where you can find me, and at Rookie Fever, where you can find the show. Because I basically want to just give some podcasts their due. There's a lot of
maybe an audio clip after you've ran those videos of it, and maybe a little bonus show off Rookie Fever for you. Just that would stuff.
Be fantastic. Yeah, that'd be fun stuff. But it was fun as always. I enjoyed this year. This is our third season, Swags. I wouldn't do it with anyone else. And looking forward to next year.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
And I am at FF_Spaceman. You can find me on the mean streets of Twitter. Also the co-host of Tale Two Rivals. But I just want to take this moment and say, guys, how appreciative I am to have been welcomed as the way I am on Rookie Fever podcast. I think my experience on Rookie Fever has actually made me a better fantasy player, and it has made me I've had to think about things a little bit differently, how to present things a little bit differently, and it's just helped me become an overall better analyst and fantasy player. And I've really valued my time with both of you guys because you guys are great fantasy players, and you're just a great time to talk to. And I look forward to this whenever I'm invited. And with your permission, I think I might put this in the old Twitter bio.
Yeah, man, I hope so, man. I think Dave, I definitely consider you a part of Rookie Fever at this point, and you're far too kind, Dave. I feel the same about you. Like, you definitely bring an element to this show that I can't bring, and Finero brings some elements that I can't bring, but you also bring some stuff that Finero's not gonna bring to the show. And I've been really happy with the chemistry we've had and been able to build. Like, you're a smart dude, Dave.
Yeah, it's been an awesome surprise this season, really, Dave.
Yeah, I'm glad. Guys, it's like I said, this has been it really has been a joy. So I'm so excited for 2021 and Rookie Fever. What comes next?
Ooh, nice. We got the rookie resolutions.
Oh, they're so much fun. Hey, guys, I want you to be sure to eat your leafy greens on New Year's. Tradition says that the more leafy greens that you eat, the more prosperity you will receive in 2021.
I'm getting that spinach out now.
Or legumes. If you want to bring the legumes out, they are just as good. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
I love the romaine.
Does romaine work the magic, Finero?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The greener, the better.
So sometimes the grass is greener on the other side.
Oh, nice one. I see where you went there.